Everybody here this morning. The rain is back upon us. Praise the Lord. He must think we need it, and he's building up the water storehouses on under the surface of the earth. If you would turn in your bulletins with me, we'll go through them as quickly as we can. On our reading, we're going to be reading Romans 8 verses 14 through 17 today. And it's I've entitled it, because it comes right out of the psalm itself, Deep Calleth Unto Deep, from Psalm 42, and we'll do the 11 verses there. Our days like this are just filled with joy when we think about family, and in particular when we think about our fathers, whether our fathers are here or not. There's that wonderful command to honor thy father and thy mother, and it doesn't stop just because we're not little ones anymore. There's always that command to bring honor to your father's family name, even to perpetuate the godliness in the family. So there's always that command is used so often for teaching children how to obey their parents. But we have a heavenly Father that asks for obedience as well. On our schedule this week, we have our normal schedule with Monday morning Bible study and prayer fellowship for the ladies at 10 a.m. And we encourage all the ladies, if that fits in your schedule, to come on in. Thursday, we're back here for our ongoing study as we go through the book of Revelation. And then on Saturday at 8 a.m. is men's prayer, which is open to anyone who would like to come in for coffee, shared prayer time, an anointing, or have hands laid on them, whatever the need may be. On our announcements, Maggie's camp is coming up in about a month, and it is our delightful responsibility to provide all of the food for the kids and the staff there on Friday the 19th. And so we're looking for donations for the food that will have to be purchased to feed probably, well, it varies, but roughly 100 kids plus or minus, plus as many as 15 or 16 staffers that come with them, counselors to help guide them through whatever the plans are for the day. So if the Lord leads in that direction, we would surely welcome any donations. And if there's more money collected than what we use on the food, then the money will go into the coffers of Maggie's camp itself. Also, CareNet of Wayne County is coming up with their annual fundraiser, the Ride for Life, and it's open to motorcycles and cars and people with walkers or scooters or whatever you want to do. They have a whole program for all kinds of different methods of transportation. If you're interested, there's a bulletin on the bulletin board, and there's also a phone number there for you to call in case you're interested. In his fields, David LeCompte, as you know, we mentioned him a few weeks ago. He's been under a building project for a coffee shop, a little Christian coffee house in Chechnya. They put out a request for funds to help them finish the job, and they're still short a little bit. They've got about half of the electrical wiring done, and they were blessed to receive. As he accounts in a letter here, he accounts that they received about $5,200 of the $8,000 or $9,000 that was needed, and so they're putting out one more plea for assistance for more money to finish the coffee house. And what's really remarkable is that even just the building project is bringing Muslims in to see what's going on and what these Christians are doing. And people are getting saved because they're talking to the workers that are doing the work. So it's amazing, the Muslims are already getting saved and the coffee shop isn't even open yet. So think about what that would do with the coffee shop open, when they can truly get in, sit down with a cup of coffee, relax, and truly hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our next work day is Saturday, June 29th. And that's at any time from 10 a.m. until sometime after lunch. And those are the announcements for this week. As always, there's an agape box in the back of the room under the bulletin board for your tithes and love offerings. On our prayer request sheets, we have all kinds of people that are in your family, in your neighborhood, and coworkers and friends and family, extended family. that we've been praying for. We're still holding up and lifting up Oscar and Mary Lou Pola. Oscar has just begun in this past week to undergo his therapy for cancer. Just a spot on his lung and then another spot in his neck near his lymph nodes. So you could continue to pray for him. And we're praising the Lord because his wife, Mary Lou, has a tendency to just sit back and let Oscar take care of her. And now that he needs the care, she has stepped up to the plate. And she's become the wife and the nursemaid and the one that's taking care of him. And we're excited about that because she's got a real knack and a natural talent for it. We're also praying for Oscar's salvation, but Mary Lou does know the Lord, so we're grateful for all that's going on with that family, and we could ask you to continue to pray for both of them. We're praying also for a number of different people, Ed and Verna, Hilly, the Slaters. You can read through them. Valerie, we're praying for. She still doesn't know what's going on with her. Because of the dizziness and everything else that she's experiencing, but we ask that you continue to pray for her. We are praising the Lord also. For a long time, we've been praying for Tom and Rosie Vance. Tom has been undergoing a pretty severe case of a pretty severe series of cancer surgeries with his liver. And Rosie has been really struggling with back pain, crippling back pain, and she's been immobile for quite some time. Her doctor put her on a new pill this past week, and within hours she's up and moving around and taking care of Tom and all kinds of things. So continue to pray for the two of them. We're also praying for Marge and Bill. Bill has been in the hospital several times in the last few months. His doctor has basically said, well, there's nothing more they can do for him because of congestive heart failure. And he has one of those pacemakers that has the jump start in it, to get them going if their heart stops. The doctor turned that portion of the pacemaker off. So he's basically on a do not resuscitate order. So we ask that you would lift them up in your prayer as well. They had him in the hospital last week, and they were looking for placement in either a hospice or a nursing home, and there are none available to him. So they sent him home with round-the-clock nursing care. Also, we're just thanking the Lord for Peggy. Peggy is back home after her rehab after back surgery. And we ask you to keep also the Reliers, the Roses, the Ritzes in your prayers. Keep Carlos in your prayers. Sue Carroll and her son Ron. Continue to pray for Calla. She's on the mend, and she's walking around a little bit, but she still has a ways to go to get back up to full restoration of what she was doing. I ask you to pray for the Ryan and the Fortunato families. The Ryans are cousin of mine. After one of my cousins passed away at age 52, we ask that you pray for her and her husband and her children. Praise for God's protection for Paul Kisley in a recent car deer accident. I don't know why. My airbags went off a few weeks ago, and his airbags went off this week. So praise the Lord that God keeps us in the midst of everything. Greg Staudinger, we prayed for him last week because he's a young college student that's been missing. He has been found. He's not back where he should be yet, but he has been found, and he's alive, and he's well. And we're just praying that the Lord would return him back to his family and his studies so that he can get back on track, not only in his studies, he's a Bible college student, but that he can get back on track with the Lord. In missions, we're praying for the Tim Mumpson in the Philippines, the Kellys, who are not only back in the U.S., but right now they're back in their own home up in Webster. They're delighted to be there. We're praying for David LeCompte with his continued work in Afghanistan and Chechnya. Our military personnel from both stationed here in the States or overseas someplace, and there's several young men that are listed there that have a connection to the church here. Remember to pray for your president, your governor, all of the appointees, all of our elected officials. We truly do desire to have godly officials in political offices, and we ask that you go the extra step, pray for their salvation, and pray for them to be Spirit-filled. Also, we're praying for several inmates that are listed there. We're praying for the peace of Jerusalem and Christian marriages. We're praying for those that are seeking work and job changes. And I also put in another prayer request. Our online presence on the internet has been minimal, and things are happening currently with three different individuals that are kind of banding together to do something bigger, and we don't know where it's going to go. So I just ask that you pray and that you have that the Lord would have His hand on any expanded internet presence that we have. I'm still astounded that as we publish our bulletin online every week, that there's several hundred people that go through it and hit the website and just read the Bob Servation column. So there's just an amazing reason to expand the internet presence. And we don't know where it's going, but we know it's going someplace. The Lord's up to something. Did you ever think about that? Your Father has up to something? And sometimes you wonder what it is, and you won't know it until afterwards. Hindsight, you'll see it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for being our Father. Thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. And Lord, thank you again for the rain. It seems like the ground is just drying out and the rain is back on us. But Lord, you know what our needs are. And Lord, you also know how protective you are of your own. We ask, Lord, that you would protect our homes in such wet weather. But Lord, just fill us. We talk about a godly man who sits in the council of you and on your word, and how your word and your law is perfect. And even in Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is such a man. He meditates on the word day and night. He's like a tree planted by the waters." Lord, help us to be trees in the midst of all of the water that's around us. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would grant your Holy Spirit access to our hearts and our minds this morning. We ask you to send him. And Lord, we pray that you would be pleased with our worship. Let our music and our song be a sweet sound to your ears. May our prayers be of sweet fragrance to your nostrils, Lord. And we ask that you would just bless our time today. We also pray for all of those that are on our prayer list, Lord. Every person that's mentioned here by name, and Lord, even those that are in our own hearts, we pray that you would bless them and minister to their needs. Encourage them, Lord, and strengthen them. Touch their lives in such a way that only you would be the one responsible for it, and that they would recognize that. We pray for the salvation of any of those that are not on our prayer list, Lord. And we ask that you would be with all of us. And Lord, we had a gentleman on the prayer list several weeks ago by the name of Mel. He's going through a really difficult time today, and all of this week we pray that you would touch him and encourage him, heal him, Lord, and work salvation in his life. Lord, we put all of these things before you this morning, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would open your open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, we'll read verses 14 through 17 together, and it's a wonderful reminder of who we have for a Father. Romans 8 starts out with a wonderful, wonderful verse. Verse 1 that I'll just read to you. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The knowledge that there's no condemnation anymore if we find ourselves not only in Jesus, but walking after Jesus, to know Him more, to follow all of the things that He's taught us how to do. His own life was our example. He's our mentor. He's our teacher. And truly, He's our Father. So if you would join me with verse 14 of Romans 8, we'll read through to the end of verse 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. There's something special about the idea of following Christ. There's something kind of scary about it sometimes too, because we know if we're truly following Christ, then there will be suffering, because we don't fit into the world any more than Jesus himself fit into the world. The suffering comes, and we enter into sometimes what is known as the vicarious sufferings of Jesus, which is something that Peter writes about in his second chapter of his first epistle. The vicarious sufferings of Jesus is sometimes just the rejection of the world. Sometimes it's out-and-out persecution, as many Christians around the world have experienced. But Jesus tells us, he said, don't be surprised if the world hates you. He tells us, take comfort in knowing that it hated him first. And so this passage here really reminds us about what it means. There is a cost to following Jesus, but wow, what an ending. What an ending. We get to call him Father because he adopts us into his family. And we get to be his heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Because as members of the body of Christ, that's who we are. We're members of his Son. And so it's a wonderful promise, and it's an encouraging passage, especially in light of what we're going to see in Psalm 42 today. As we turn there, there's an amazing thing that has occurred between chapter 41 and chapter 42. The book of Psalms is cut apart, and it's divided into five separate sections. And Bible scholars I can't even count myself as a Bible scholar. Bible scholars long ago identified it, that the book of Psalms is divided up into five divisions, which are correlative to the book of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. When we go through this first section from Psalm 1 through Psalm 41, that's really the book of Genesis. In the very beginning, Psalm 1, blessed is that man who doesn't walk after the counsel of the ungodly. He's the man that sits and meditates on God's word. He's the perfect man, as Adam was the perfect man in Genesis. But it wasn't long after the beginning of Genesis that we see that sin enters the world, and then there's problems and difficulties for that perfect man. His life is changed. Things don't go the way he planned and the way he hoped. And by the end of that first book of Genesis, by the end of this first section of Psalms, we see that David is in the same problems, in the same trials, thinking the same thoughts that they must have thought of when Abraham sent his children into Egypt for food. Difficult times in the homeland, and yet here Egypt, right next door, has got plenty because God sent his own representative ahead to save many, many people. Even as we look at the Psalm here, Psalm 42, we find that Genesis has been closed out, really. But now we enter into the book of Exodus. As Genesis is the creative work, the many and wonderful creative works that we read about in Psalm 1, in Psalm 8, and in Psalm 19, there's just wonderful, wonderful passages that bring out the glory of God in the creation that he made. But now, Psalm 42 begins, and we begin to see the heart of the people that were in exile in Exodus, the ones that were beaten down, the ones that didn't have the temple anymore to worship in. They were the slaves of Egypt for 400 years. And we see their heart as the writer of Psalm 42 begins. As the heart panteth after the water brooks. And think about that water brook that was that stream from Psalm 1 where the tree is planted and its leaf never wilts. It bears fruit in its season. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. While they didn't lose faith, they lost the opportunity to worship in their temple. They lost the opportunity to offer sacrifices. And here the writer says, I miss my God. I miss that fellowship. I miss the worship, the corporate worship with the whole congregation of people. I so miss that portion of my faith. I still have faith in God. It's just not what it was. Because they were beaten down. They were forced to make bricks. And later on, just before the Exodus began across the Sinai, they were forced to make bricks without straw. The writer says, my soul thirsts for you. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You can take this two ways. When am I going to end and be in His presence? When am I going to pass from this life of enslavement and be in Your presence, Lord, as Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Or when am I going to appear before God? When are we going to have a temple again? When can we worship corporately again? When can we glorify You throughout the land instead of having to compete with the idols of Egypt? Now, Isn't that our lives? We come into church once a week, twice a week. And by the time we get to the next week, we say, I can't wait to get back to church. I love the fellowship of my brothers and sisters. I love the corporate worship. I love to be able to hear God's word. I love to be able to sit at somebody's feet and just have them feed me. I love God and I want to know more about Him. Even as we sang this morning, I want to know You more, not less. I don't want the distractions of the world all the time. And yet, the distractions are all around us. We live in Egypt. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. When shall I come and appear before God? And how curious, he can recognize his longing. He can recognize the lack in the expression of his faith. But he gets beyond that and he starts looking forward. When, Lord? When can I come and stand before You? When can I be in Your presence? Now, there's the man who hates his life and yet looks forward to what God has. And even as John writes, he says, we don't know what we shall be, but when He shall appear, we know that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. From 1 John chapter 3. You know, there's a change that's coming. There's the promises that were given even unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to the church. All of those are still yet ahead of us. But in the meantime, there's Egypt to endure. There's Egypt to overcome. We're just beginning our study in the book of Revelation on Thursday nights. And those second and third chapters, it's the Spirit says unto the churches, to him that overcometh, and there's always a promise, to endure. Those that endure will gain eternal life. We ask for endurance every day. We pray, oh Lord, especially if we know it's going to be a bad day. A heavy day at work. If it's going to be problems with family or whatever, we say, oh Lord, give me strength. Help me endure this day. I know it's not going to be a good one. And at the end of the day, we can say at our night prayers before our head hits the pillow, we can say, Lord, thank You. You sustained me. You strengthened me enough to get through it. And He does every day. He has sustained us every single day of our whole lives, because without Christ, there's nothing that consists, because He is our consistency. The writer here says he's been thirsting after God, and the only thing he's got to drink is his tears. He says, "My tears," in verse 3, "have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" Where is your God now that you're going through difficult times? Where is He now when your health isn't what it was? When you've lost your job? When your finances aren't what you expected? When you're behind in your bills? Where's your God now? He's there. He's there to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. He doesn't necessarily supply all of our wants, but He supplies all of our needs. And that's what we need to learn the difference of, because a lot of our wants are the things of Egypt. The things that we don't necessarily have an absolute dire necessity for. The Lord takes care of those things. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? It's in John 4, verse 32. Jesus has just had his meeting of the woman at the well in Samaria. And he just got done telling her that he said, you know, I have water that if you drink of my well, you'll never thirst. And he goes through all of that teaching with her and encouraging her. And she goes back to the town to tell everybody that she knew, the men in the town. And the apostles come and say, Lord, you know, what are you doing talking to a Samaritan woman? They question him immediately. His own friends begin to question him. What are you doing? I'm sharing the gospel. That's what he's doing. But in chapter 4, verse 31, it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He's got food for not just the belly, he's got food for the soul, for the spirit. He wants to build us up. While the writer of Psalms says, my tears have been my meat all day, Jesus is saying, I've got meat you don't know about, that you've never tasted of it. That's the pure, unadulterated mind of God telling us that there's more to life than just food for the belly. They say continually unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them into the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept holy day. We found a place to gather together. Even in Egypt, they found a place to gather together, but it wasn't a temple. In the psalmist here during the time of David, yes, they had a place of worship. They had a temple. He went in with them. But when you get out of the temple, when you get away from your brothers and sisters in Christ, when you leave church, you're back in the world again. And everything comes back on us. The call of Egypt, the idols, the things that distract us from our walk with the Lord. While we're here, we're all strong, we're all powerful, our thoughts and our hearts are all focused on the Lord, are focused on His Word, and yet when we get back out in the world, as soon as you leave that door, it's like, here we are, back in the world again. Family, house, job, everything comes back on our heads. And that's why Jesus says, you know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank God for the fact that we still have within us, even as the writer here, he says, I remember these things. I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I've been in church before. I've been to temple before. I went with them into the house of God. Yes, I love that. With a voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Well, here's holy day. Here's a holy day. It's not just Father's Day, but it's Father's Day. It's the Lord's Day. Sabbath is Saturday. God defined it. But the Lord's Day for Christians is Sunday. And it's not just Sunday that can be dedicated to Him. It's every day that can be dedicated to Him. Every day can be the Lord's Day. If we keep our hearts and our minds focused on the true and the living God, and we don't get overwhelmed by the distractions of Egypt and our world and the rest of our lives. The writer continues in verse 5, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquiet in me?" What's uneasy? What's causing all the discomfort and the unease? You know, why am I feeling upset? There's a void. My soul is disquieted because it's not getting fed. My spirit is troubled because I'm not getting fed. Nobody's there to spoon feed me the pablum as a little baby in Christ. Well, you know what? Sometimes babies grow up and we feed ourselves. The correlation of a new Christian and a newborn babe is just so profound, it's unbelievable. And the Lord asks us to make sure that we're feeding ourselves the thing that we need to get through every day. Yes, there's the holy day. There's the day of the Lord, the Lord's day. Not the day of the Lord. That's a whole different meaning on that one. But the Lord's day is complete for all of us. We love to come and hear of His word, to listen to the wonderful words of the prophets and the psalmists, the words of the patriarchs of our faith, the stories of their lives. And this is the story of somebody's life too, as we read the psalm. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted in me? And he catches himself, and he says, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." I'll praise Him when His countenance reveals Himself, and His countenance helps me. When I get that image of God in my head, when I sense His presence, when I look to Him, then my soul is no longer disquieted. I find the peace again, because the peace comes from Him. Our joy comes from Him. Our ability to love comes from Him. Our ability to grant grace to those that trouble us comes from Him. I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. The word Mizar in Hebrew is a little hill, and it refers to Zion. Well, if you're ever in Jerusalem, you ever get a chance to look at it or spend time there, you'll understand that it's not the highest peak in the mountain range. The Mount of Olives is even higher than Mount Zion. And you get up on the top of it and you look down into the city and you still see the city on that lower hill. And that's what this refers to. It's that little hill, Mizar. It's Mount Zion. "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Here's a crushing storm that's come upon us. You know, we just went through a whole series of storms this past week and the week before, and floods, water damage, people pumping out basements, all kinds of things. But this gives reference to Jonah's plight. Deep calleth unto deep. The deep things of God, the deep things of the ocean. There's things in the depths of the ocean that man knows nothing about. They keep finding new species down in the very, very deep, deepest of depths. Critters that don't require light to live. It's incredible when we think about it. And now we hear almost Jonah's word saying, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, thy tornadoes." Nothing louder than a tornado. People out in the Midwest will tell you it sounds like a freight train coming through the house. And all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. The clouds, the water, everything is over me. I'm covered. When our hearts and our spirit and our soul is disquieted within us, we can feel like we're drowning. We can feel like we're so troubled that we don't know where to go. We don't know who to look for. We can't get any air. We think that this is the end. And the problems, the trials of the world can be overwhelming and seem to come on us at the worst possible moment. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I get back on track. The troubles in the world are everywhere. If you're not paying attention to the news broadcasts, let me just tell you that Matthew 24 is being fulfilled. Mark 13, Luke 21, it's all being fulfilled. We look at Revelation and we hear where a third of the trees are destroyed. Where have the elm trees gone? Dutch elm disease took them. The beech trees are gone. If you've been in any of our national or state parks lately, you know that the ash trees are on their way out. That little emerald beetle from the Far East is after them. The trees are being decimated. It was probably about, it must have been about 9 years ago. I happened to be hiking up one of the peaks in the Great Smoky Mountains. And up on top of the mountain, there's this observation building. And you get up into the observation deck and you look out over the whole of the Great Smoky Mountain Park. Beautiful. Well, it was beautiful because the emerald beetles had already attacked down in the Smoky Mountains, and all you saw were the fir trees, the evergreens, and all the other trees in the park were just stripped bare trunks already. That's almost 10 years ago. Now it's just coming into our area. But it's happening now in the state parks in New York. That same beetle is decimating everything. There's something about this natural progression. Well, it was Dutch elm disease. It was a disease that took those trees. It was some other disease that took the beech trees. It was another beetle that took all of the white birch trees. It was a distinct beetle that took away the mountain ash trees. But now the regular ash trees are under attack. Is there a third of the trees that are going to be taken off away from the earth? See, Revelation is being fulfilled in a very natural way. In fact, it's so natural that it's ultra-natural. It's ultra-natural, which is just another word for supernatural. The Lord lets the supernatural happen through just natural means. The super part is that it's in fulfillment of His Word. It's in fulfillment of His Word. Nothing will take precedence over His Word. Nothing will deter His Word from being fulfilled. And it'll come by natural means, or it'll come by supernatural means, depending on our point of view. If we think that it's God's Word being fulfilled, then that's supernatural. The Lord's not necessarily causing it, but He's allowing it. When we hear in the Scriptures, in Colossians, as Paul writes and he says, all things consist of Him, the one that made everything, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason that things continue to grow, continue to exist, is also because of Jesus. And so if He lifts His protection and His provision from them, then they're susceptible to the diseases which sin brought into the world in the Garden of Eden. the diseases, the breakdown, everything. Deep calleth unto deep. We're in trouble. The tornadoes, the floods, waterspouts and waves. Thy billows are gone over me. Do you feel like we've been living under a cloud for the last 2 weeks? And it's only 2 weeks. And we're sunnier than Seattle is. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will be lifted up because I will sense His countenance upon me. We will sense His provision and His protection because we are not appointed unto wrath, as it tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are not appointed unto wrath. We see all of these things taking place all around us. We see the wars and the rumors of wars. We see the sickness. And when it comes to the wars, we see the ethnic fighting. We see the national fighting. We see politics in an uproar in every nation in the world. We see the poor, more poor than ever, because the rich get richer, just as the scriptures tell us that they will. Evil men will wax worse and worse. Things aren't getting any better. Things are getting worse. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Well, here's something. Here's a cry of Jesus from the cross. In the midst of all his trials, before he finally gives up his spirit, releases his spirit to go back to the Father, he says, Why have you forgotten me? I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? When we find ourselves gripped with those thoughts and wonder where our God is, it really only means that we've lost sight of God. We've become distracted by the things of the world and the things of Egypt. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. Here's another vision of Christ on the cross. And while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Where is thy God? Don't you get tired of hearing it? And we don't necessarily, in this country, hear it from other people. We hear it in our own heads. Where is God in this situation? Where is God in this situation? How come he let that happen? Where is he? Isn't he paying attention? Yes, he's paying attention. Yes, he's paying attention. He's fulfilling his word. And what we have to focus on is his word and the promises. And sometimes it's difficult to refocus from tragedy and look to God and say, Lord, you're going to comfort me anyways, aren't you? If I think about you, if I dwell upon your word, if I read some of the Psalms, I'll always be brought back to you and the wonderful promises that you have for me. The promises to keep me, the promises to provide for me. The promises that if the timing is right, you'll rapture me out of this place and you'll take me home and I'll be in your presence then forevermore. Peter talks about how our suffering is just temporary. It's just temporary. But God uses it to strengthen us and to stabilize us, to build our faith in Him, and to remind us that He is yet still in control. Where is thy God? I know right where He is. He's in heaven looking down upon His children. His Holy Spirit is busy on damage control for us. The ship may be sinking, but He is our life raft. He is our life. We may be troubled on every side, but on the inside, we don't have to be troubled, because within our hearts lives the true and the living God. We don't have to worry about what things go on the outside. We'll have to live through them. We'll have to endure them. If we have a voice to speak up against them, we have the freedom and sometimes the obligation to do so. But it's on the inside, where the Lord dwells in my heart, that I find my peace. That's where I find my rest. The writer here, once again in verse 11, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" See, here's the, we've read this same thing at least twice more. Here's what Paul describes as the flesh lusting against the spirit. "The things of the world distract me and make me want something better, but it's the things of the spirit that are my true needs." The flesh lusts against the spirit lusts against the flesh. These two are adversaries. They're opposite one another. And Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, you know, the things that are beautiful, the things that are lovely, the things that are peaceful, the good things of our lives, the things that we find as gifts from Him, he says, think on these things. Sing in songs of hymns and praise. Controlling our minds, controlling our thought patterns, redirecting them, so that when we do it often enough, we find that it's a real easy step to go, oh, I'm going in the wrong direction. I'm thinking the wrong things. I'm thinking about how terrible things are. You know, I'm becoming a real downer to all of my friends. I want to uplift them. And when we look for Christ and we remember our relationship with Him, we are lifted up because of His glory. Because of His glory. I'm going to take you back to Psalm 8 here, just briefly. This is early on in the Genesis section of the Psalms. And it says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth." This is still, some of the creation is still being discovered by mankind. "Who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings Thou hast ordained strength because of Thine enemies. And Thou mightest, that Thou mightest still or quiet the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou should even be mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou should visit him? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels," speaking of Christ, "hast crowned him with glory and honor." Even the psalmist understands that there's a Redeemer coming, and God is going to crown him with honor and with glory. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of Thy hands. The works of the Father's hands are controlled by this Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we see that, and can we see it daily in our lives? How everything that we need can be found provisionally in Him? "All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth." See, He's still in the earth. He's living on earth with us, within us. And He wants to redirect our hearts and our thoughts. He doesn't want us to be burdened down with the things that are going on in the world. He wants us to be raised up. He wants us to be strengthened. He wants us to be hopeful and not beaten down. Because He loves us. Because we're His. Just because we're His. And sometimes it's a battle. But as Paul says, think on these things. Think on these things. the things that are lovely and pure, the things that are godly. Think about Jesus. Think about his glory. Thinking about sharing his glory. Think about what we read in Romans, in the reading. Wonderful, wonderful promises to be heirs and co-heirs with Christ. There's our end. There's our end. Think about those things, and we will be lifted up. And everything else is still in God's hands too. And I mentioned the Holy Spirit is sometimes running around on damage control. You know, two people can go through the same thing, and one can be devastated, and the other one can be lifted up, because the one that is lifted up is a believer. He's still hopeful in spite of the worst news, the worst circumstances possible. The Lord is still Lord. And that man, that perfect man, hasn't forgotten it. Be a perfect man. Be a perfect woman. Keep our eyes and our hearts focused on Jesus. And then the things of the world will just pass by and pass away. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We just thank you, Lord, that you are our Father. And we praise you. We say Happy Father's Day to each other. But Lord, truly, a glorious Happy Father's Day to you. Because you're glorious. Your majesty is reflected in all of the earth. We see your power in the things of nature. We see your blessings in the things of nature as well. Lord, let not our hearts be disquieted within us. Let our hearts remain focused on you every moment of every day. Walk with us this week. Hold our hands, Lord. Keep us by your side. Don't let us run ahead, and don't let us lag behind. Keep us right by your side, Lord, and we'll sense your presence, and help us to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. We just praise you, Lord, and we give you the glory and ask you to just walk with us. In Jesus' name, bless our day today. Bless our time with our families today, for those that are getting together for this little Hallmark holiday. Lord, we just give you the glory for it. Today is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. From Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week in the Lord.